Lori Brox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of the Valdez Medical Clinic and works at Providence Valdez Medical Center, a doctor there as well. In fact, you might get called out this morning, so if you leave abruptly, we'll just go with what we got. But let's get to the information today. Kathy, there was a school board meeting on Monday night, and there was a proposal in there, test to stay. And so for folks who listen to the meeting, the principal at the elementary school, Mr. Weber, gave a pretty detailed explanation of how that would work. But for the benefit of the listening audience and those who missed the meeting on Monday, I thought that might be a good place to start this morning to talk about that and what that means for school-age kids here in Valdez.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. What people need to know is what was in place before this. That is, if you are close contact within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes cumulative or 24 hours of somebody or some buddies who were positive for COVID, who actually have the disease, then this goes for grown-ups or kids. If you are vaccinated, you can really wear your mask well. That is, you don't take it down to sip your coffee 10 times. You don't eat lunch with everybody in the cafeteria with your mask off. You kind of eat in your desk or in your car or whatever until you could be tested at day 3 to 5. And if you're negative, then you can be a little bit back to usual with your mask. If you're unvaccinated, you had to stay home in quarantine for 7 days with a negative test or 10 days without a test. And both of those sets of people are supposed to be watching themselves like hawks for symptoms for the whole 14 days. If they had any symptoms, be tested then also. So what that resulted in is kids, especially at the elementary school, being sent home on quarantine quite often. And so the thought was, what could we do to make sure that kids can be in school? Because most of the cases that have been at the school this year, which is a bunch, it's like 130 or something like that. That's a lot. It's like a seventh of our population, or eighth of our population or something like that. Anyway, most of those kids caught it at home. They caught it from their siblings, or they caught it from friends, or they caught it from their parents. Very few of them caught it at school. Well, you know, some did, because there's a lot of COVID going around. Remember, it's COVID that's the problem, not the quarantine procedures. But anyway, so we're trying to find a way to have kids in school more. And some school districts have tried it out. Shelby, the nurse, and Mr. Weber, the elementary school principal, looked into this, called up the people in the districts that had tried it, and they did something called test to stay. So instead of people, of kids who were identified as close contacts having to stay home, automatically, if they weren't vaccinated, which of course up until extremely recently has been all the elementary school kids and a lot of the older kids too. Instead of that, they could come back, wear their mask all the time, including PE class and that sort of thing, and test on day 3 and day 5 extra. The school would do that. So, and if they're coming out negative, then they get to stay. Of course, if they come up with symptoms on day 4 or day 2 or day 6, they would do a test then. And if it's positive, they would go home. So any of these tests come out positive, they go home. But they don't have to go home just because they were a close contact. It's kind of, I liken it to kind of work release from prison. That is, you're still in quarantine. You don't get to go to the birthday parties or the scout meeting or the church meeting or the swim club or whatever is still pretty much in quarantine, but you can come to school because school has lots of hand washing and lots of, social distancing and all that sort of stuff. And so with all this care at school, school districts have found that it wasn't any worse in terms of how many kids caught COVID at school to let the kids come back with those extra tests. So that's what was voted in.
And Kathy, I know you don't have Facebook. So here are some of the things people are asking, wondering. There was concern that testing is you know, well, last week we were saying, you know, 2 weeks ago we were saying there aren't enough tests. And I know we had that discussion here, but people would have had to listen to a half hour interview
to
hear that. And it just played one day. I have not seen any status of that anywhere else. So it's not really, you know, the onus of the public to know what's going on when there's nowhere to know what's going on. So we should probably reiterate that the testing, which you did say last week, but to my knowledge, that's the only place that would have been. So testing supplies are back up, right?
Testing supplies are back up. It was wonderful how the Grapevine took care of, we don't have any testing supplies. Please don't, you know, ask for the usual. At the moment, people got that message loud and clear. Now they need to get the opposite message. Come back in. We will be glad to test you for every little sniffle. We'd be glad to test you to get out of quarantine. We'd be glad to test you with close contact, whatever. I'd like to come back to that too, Lori. But the other thing is how many people we have to do the tests and how many machines we have to do the tests. The extra tests that would be done at school are what are called antigen tests, and they're not quite as sensitive, but they also take a lot less time. They're a lot like a pregnancy test or something, so that you don't need a machine. So the test has to sit there for 10, 15 minutes, depending on what brand it is. But you can swab a bunch of people, put the drops on a whole bunch of these tests, and then watch them all. And you don't have to have a machine that is dedicated to that one person's test for 20 minutes. And so it's a lot easier to do a large number of people. Like Shelby has, the nurse at school has like 60 people who are close contacts at the moment, and you can actually do that with the antigen test. So these extra tests would be antigen tests. The public is welcome to, there is no such thing for grown-ups who are excluded from going to work or whatever. This is a special thing for schools, and just like they have the special thing of, well, okay, how about 3 feet instead of 6? It's a special thing for schools because kids are different, because they really want kids to be in school. I think it's going to be a boon for the parents, too, because if your kid's in school, you don't have to find a babysitter. You can go to work. I think it's a win all around.
And I think Carrie Wade brought up the fact that she didn't think that there were regulations at other school districts, you know, that people had kind of dropped, to her knowledge, many of the things, and she urged the group to look at that. A couple other board members were very adamant that this is not a mandate. It is an option. And then I've seen some comments, you know, this is not fair. So I'm not saying that, but how would you address that? A parent saying, well, this is not fair to my kid that's unvaccinated.
Yeah. As I say, the reason I wanted to go back to say this is what happens if you're not in school with a test stay program. The CDC recommendation, which is what we're held to, if we don't do this, is to, if you're a close contact, you go home if you're not vaccinated. Why is it different between vaccinated and unvaccinated? Because vaccination works, and it makes you a seventh as likely to catch the Delta variant as it would be if you weren't vaccinated. Yes, some people are turning positive who have been vaccinated, but they tend to have a much milder case, which is great. It keeps them out of the hospital. But also fewer people who are vaccinated are turning positive than people who are unvaccinated. And that's my personal experience here in Valdez, and that's the statistics. When the vaccine first came out, it was even better than that, but it's not as good against Delta. We know that, but it is good. And so what we're trying to do is say, We're letting people who are vaccinated wear their mask, absolutely, positively wear it all the time until they get tested. And we're saying, okay, even if you're unvaccinated, if we do a few more tests and we're super careful, it won't result in any other districts. They've tested that out, and it has not been a source of extra spread in the schools. Compared to, there will still be some spread in schools, but it wasn't any worse. than doing the stay home for a week thing. So this way, most of the kids will get to be in school, except the ones who actually caught it.
So if you boil this down and simplify it, it is less restriction. Is that fair?
Than we currently had before Monday. Yes.
And this just so people know as well where this came from. I don't think you were on that committee, but there was a committee of principals. I think Dr. Angela Alfaro. Anyways, the list is in the school board packet if people want to check that out. But this wasn't a one-person decision, and it was a 7-0 vote, if I'm not mistaken.
To approve. This, yes. And the original document says that we're going to follow CDC guidelines. And CDC guidelines are to stay home for a week to 10 days, depending on whether you do a test or not. So that is that was the status quo until Monday. Was you had to stay home for 7 days. So this is, you get to come to school with testing that is trying to make it as safe as we possibly can, but let more kids be in school for longer.
And to be clear, this is just for close contacts, not people who are positive. They should stay home.
Yeah.
This is not for kids who are positive. It's close contacts.
Exactly.
Just to be clear.
And I received an email from somebody who, I think, thinks that their kid who's unvaccinated is going to have to do this testing, you know, every other day for forever. No, only if they're a close contact. So otherwise, if they're a close contact, they'd be home. But this is ability to be in school.
And if I'm not mistaken, the criteria for close contact at the schools has also loosened up a bit. I know at one point it was like, you know, anyone in this grade level, they're all going home. So I think is that a correct assessment?
I wouldn't say it's loosened up. I would say that we're trying to be very precise.
Or mitigating more, I guess.
Classes that have a seating chart and people sit still, they're trying to just take the kids that are in that perimeter. They're trying to see who really did sit with whom at lunch that day. You know, they're trying to have just that one second grade be the close contacts, not all the second grade. Because there is some spread at school, and it is to close contacts, but we're trying to very hard to say who's a close contact. It's not the whole school. That's why we do the cohorting, so that we can say, no, it was probably just these kids that were exposed to that kid who's positive.
And I think there's a little confusion as well as, you know, why is this team testing, that team testing? Well, sometimes the place that they're going to, like Ausau's state tournament, the volleyball team's headed out today, and they are requiring testing. Certain tournaments are requiring that teams be tested. So
yeah, you know, that's up to the host, and Ausau's going to require it for all the state tournaments. They are not making statements about other things, but for instance, I'm told that we have a little group of cases stemming from a wrestling tournament. And so, you know, perhaps it would, you know, is it that we gave it to each other on the bus, or is it we got it from that tournament or whatever? That still remains to be determined. But we're trying very hard to be able to go and do all these nifty activities that are a big part of school. They really are. But without introducing it back here, we have enough of our own and we don't need any more, but also having kids get sick. So a whole separate thing. This is test to stay. And there's also a thing called test to play that some states have done in various ways. And one of them is if you're going to go to the state tournament, you're going to have to test before you go. And if the star quarterback is positive, he's going to have to stay home. You know, it's hard, but and in fact, if it's a long tournament, they're going to have teams have to test partway through again. And we do have enough tests if we use antigen tests for some of these purposes, and use the Abbott test for the purposes that we've used them for in the past. And so far, so good on the amount of testing supplies available. We're back in to please test if you have even the slightest symptom. Sniffle. I'll say that the other thing I've just run into recently, because people were being nice and not using up tests that we didn't need to, They were saying, oh, we've already tested three members of our family. The other two just got symptoms. We're not going to bother to test the other two, which was very useful from a don't use up tests unnecessarily point of view. We'll just assume you're all positive. I'm happy to write you a letter to go back to school. People who want to go to Hawaii or Ireland or wherever, they're saying, well, where's your test result? And even though it's very logical to say if two members of the family got exactly the same symptoms at exactly the right time, we know they had COVID, and that's good enough for school. It isn't good enough for some kinds of travel. So, you're supposed to be tested every week at Alyeska. And if you just had COVID, no, you shouldn't test every week at Alyeska. And so, sometimes it's worthwhile proving that you're positive for certain purposes.
Okay, and Kathy, there are so many other topics, so I think I'll just throw it out there. Status of COVID in Valdez and Alaska, is it looking up, testing, vaccination? I'll let you choose. Where do we go next?
Let's see how much I can talk about. It's looking up. Fairbanks just went from crisis care to criterion care.
I saw that.
Which is not normal yet, but they said we're not in a crisis. We're not in the worst anymore. We should be able to provide regular stuff, but we're going to have to do it in an irregular way sometimes. I haven't heard that from the Anchorage hospitals yet, but it is, the number of cases is dropping. You can always have little ups and downs, but it's dropping. Like Fairbanks made a statement saying, thank you so much, Fairbanks, for vaccinating and masking, and it's working. Keep it up, please, 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 because it's working, and we're going down a level in crisis, but keep going. And I would say that's the same thing for Valdez. We're doing a little bit better. We don't have 100 cases. We have cases in the 50s, but there's still little blurps here and there, and we still need to be really careful. My crystal ball is as foggy as everybody else's, but I don't see this as, oh, we're going to be wearing masks for the whole rest of our lives and we're going to be testing every other day for the rest of our lives. I don't see that at all. I see that as if we get over this hump, that we'll be back to what it was, last spring, where we've still got to be a little bit careful. And if somebody has it, we're still going to quarantine their close contacts or test their close contacts. But I think that it's going to fade here pretty soon, and we're just going to have to be careful, especially as we start going inside, because it's snowy and cold out there, and we're exposed to each other more. We're just going to have to be really careful to make sure we don't go back up again.
Now, do you attribute the decline to vaccination, herd immunity, combination thereof?
Yeah, a combination of, we're getting some herd immunity because everybody's getting it. But we have to remember that people who get it can get it again. It's not like, oh, you've had the disease and now you're good for life like you are with the
chickenpox
or the measles. So I ran into somebody this week who was saying, oh, I'm just trying to get COVID so I can just get it over with. And I said, well, that's not going to last your whole life. So maybe you should find a different aspiration than getting COVID. I think that it will help with vaccinations. I understand people's reticence to say, have they really tested this out enough? And it's my 5-year-old. I understand that. If my kids were that age, I would be getting it for them, because the same thing with this disease, it's my 5-year-old. You got to remember what you're comparing to is not nothing. It's getting COVID. And if that many kids at school have had it, even if they didn't catch it at school, that's how many kids there are getting it, which is a lot. And we used to, last year it was, well, kids hardly ever get it and they aren't sick if they have it. That was the alpha variant.
Kathy, could you give us some numbers? Because I think what the public ends up with is, officials having information and saying, here's what you should do. But we're missing the part where there's some information and data and numbers. So do you have Alaska numbers for that age group? And because I know there were comments at the meeting the other night that, you know, the odds of a child getting it are less, you know, everybody has a different number. So, you know, and I think it's interesting to hear Alaska numbers. I'd love to see and hear more of those. And I think you might be privy to those and a lot of people making decisions based on maybe those numbers, but then the public is kind of out of the loop when it comes to data. So is there any data you can share with us? Numbers, info?
I'd have to look up the numbers. I don't have them in front of me and I would hate to get them wrong. I think it's important to always have the comparators, however. So for instance, the year before they put in chickenpox vaccine, there were 21 kids hospitalized with chickenpox. Not 21 kids that died, but 21 kids that were hospitalized with chickenpox. And this disease, there have been between 600 and 700, I'm sorry, I don't know the exact number, of kids who have died from COVID. And so, and it's often from a multiple immune system failure that happens afterwards. And yes, it is often kids who have some other underlying disease, just as it is in adults. So maybe if you are the super healthy person, you'll be okay. But you know, number one, where's your altruism for the person who does have the diabetes or the asthma? But number two, I've met somebody who, you know, was a triathlete, a 20-year-old, and who got wheelchaired out of the hospital, you know, multiple months later after being on a ventilator. And maybe he'll make a total comeback, but maybe he won't. And so if you're the one, it's a bad thing. And statistically, there were a lot of statistics at the school board meeting that when there's public business from the floor or public comment from the floor, we just listen to those and take those in. We don't comment back to them. And you know, lots of things about this many people died from the vaccine and that sort of thing. And I heard those numbers, but I didn't hear any backup to those numbers either as to who calculated those and how. So I will try to get some numbers in Alaska. But remember, you're comparing small numbers to small numbers. And sometimes there's fluctuation in places
well,
like Alaska.
Well, and all the variables change. You know, we learned that in junior high, right? Like you have to test and leave the variables have to all be the same to actually. And COVID, definitely, there's so many. You know, how many people are getting tested, all of those things. So difficult, but it is, I think it's a natural response to want some data.
Yeah. And the other thing that they have to remember is there's several parts of doing science. One is having the theory that is logical. And you say, I should test this, you know, this theory makes some sense. But then you have to go test your theory and see whether what makes sense actually turns out to be true. So as I say, I'm glad on this test to stay thing that they actually, in these bigger districts that tried it out, gathered their numbers and said, oh, it didn't do us. It was not any worse than sending the kids home for a whole 7 days.
Oh, we should mention the school district does have their own district dashboard now that they're maintaining
right.
That has school counts. And then as well, Shelby Gudgell did have some numbers on, I don't recall the exact numbers, but how many they've considered, because she's doing the contact tracing, were school spread, community spread, that type of thing. So
exactly.
Shout out. That was good to hear some numbers there.
Exactly. Anyway, so one has to take one's theory that is totally reasonable and logical and actually test it out. Otherwise, you say, well, looks to me, it's totally logical that sun travels from the east to the west and the earth stays still and the sun travels. But we now know that that's not true. But that still sounds logical. and our personal experience is one thing. But, you know, you have to take whatever your theory is and then see whether it holds up in in real life. And a lot of times you're stuck with the theories right at the beginning, but then as you test them out, you find out that, well, that was a good theory, but it didn't work.
How is our vaccination rate going? Are people taking advantage of calling, I think at this point it's calling the public health nurse for the third booster, or I don't know. It's probably too early to know if you have signups for the clinic, the 5-year-old, 5 to 11-year-old.
Well, that's coming up this Friday evening. You are asked to call ahead to the public health nurse and get your name on the list. There's plenty of vaccine for the 5 through 11s. They're also willing to give flu vaccine. They're also willing to give grown-up vaccine at that same clinic, but please call ahead of time so that they can have the right amount of stuff there. So they've scheduled this one set of pods for the kids, 5 to 8 this Friday night, and then three weeks later for your second shot, for the kids that his parents want them to get it. And there'll be plenty of vaccine for that, but please call ahead if you can, because it makes it a lot easier for them to figure out how many to thaw and that sort of thing.
And I think it bears repeating, and I think I remember this correctly, that you said it's about a third of a dose.
Yeah, it's a much smaller dose.
But it's the same basic component as what adults have been getting.
Correct.
Okay, very good. Any other items to hit on, Kathy, or that you want to?
Well, I think that all of the physicians in town, the public health nurses and whatever, to the extent that we have the time, we would love to discuss things with people. It is extremely confusing. Why are you testing it 3 to 5 days and 5 to 7 days? And how long does it take to get a test back from Anchorage anyway? And yes, it's taking us a lot of time, but we would love to make sure things that really are confusing can be made as clear as possible.
All right. Well, thanks once again for joining us with info, and we'll check back next Wednesday. And then that test to stay, we'll maybe have had a week test, and we can see how that's working in practice.
We probably won't know enough statistics to after 1 week to be able to say anything. Because you could have all kinds of fluctuations in small numbers, if you have 10 people, you're going to get worse statistics than if you had, 100,000 people. The little waves and things average out more in bigger samples. So I can certainly tell you how it's going by next week, but we won't be able to say, oh, and see, there were 4 cases versus 3 cases. That won't be a real number.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.